Hour number two of overtime, Fan Run Radio, Jake Miller, John Dunn, and Max Pennell. Let's go back to the phones, start hour number two. Tommy is next after holding up what? He had a receiving touchdown yesterday?
I believe so.
Justin Hanna didn't get to play.
Hey, how boys doing this evening?
Good.
Making it, brother.
Good. Yesterday's show, man, that was hilarious. I had a lot of fun with that. I wish I could have called in. I've got cars stacked up to the damn wall. But they just keep pulling up. You detail one, and by George, they pull up.
Just don't blame it on your taxes, right?
Oh, hell no. Why the hell would I do that? Now, guys, I was going to call in and talk a little turn left. I usually try to hold off on that during the week. We got JL coming in. I'm excited to hear that. But, the Gateway race, it was a pretty decent race. But this car, like you was talking about earlier, going to the Chicago Street Course, the safety of this car, you see Noah Gregson is going to be out with a concussion.
And Grant Enfinger is going to fill in.
Yep, Grant Enfinger is going to get him a shot in it. This car, I'm kind of excited to watch it run Le Mans. It's pretty much the same car that Garage 66 has built. And it was actually 3 seconds a lap faster than the GT3 cars, you know, out there, the Porsches, the Audi entries and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the durability of this car as far as, you know, hard impacts. You know, you've seen a lot of guys get hurt in this car. You've seen Alex Bowman. You've seen Noah Gregson. You've seen all these guys get hurt.
It's scary. That's the thing about it, is it's scary.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, this car, I mean, just a small wreck. You know, we all seen Earnhardt's wreck in 2001 and last lap of the Daytona 500, and it didn't look like anything that he hasn't done before, and it ultimately killed him. And I'm scared to death that one of these wrecks that we see in this car at Bristol or something like that with hard impact into the inside wall or outside wall is going to have the same effect.
Yeah, and, man, I mean, we've talked about this all year, and then it finally dawned on me. Because when I was explaining it to these two about how the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series are more fun to watch than the Cup Series, I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe it's not the track at all. And then we get on a conversation with JL, and it's like, it's not about the track. Look at the common denominator with all this. It's this car.
Absolutely, yeah. Like we've all said 100 million times, car is designed for road course, and I think that Sonoma this week is going to be a great race with this car. If you mess up at Sonoma, there's only minimum spots that you can have a catastrophic, you know, wreck like that.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time you're going to end up in the grass or a sand pit. But you go to Watkins Glen, like you said earlier, one of my favorite tracks. I love Watkins Glen. It's so fast. You remember when we seen David Ragan and David Ruderman with the Brad Keselowski and Marcus Ambrose race?
Yes.
I think it was, what, 2012?
Yes, great race.
The big race going up into the S's. I mean, that was a huge wreck. If they'd been in this car, I'm afraid somebody went home back to their family.
Yeah. That's scary to think about. I mean, that, man.
All right, guys. Well, I've rambled off enough, but we got Sonoma coming up. Who you got, Jake?
Kyle Larson.
I mean, come on. We're going to have to give Larson a break. We pick him every damn week. Come on.
I mean, it's the safest pick every week. He's going to at least get in the top five.
Absolutely.
He's going to will it. Daniel Suarez is going to have a good day. Martin Truex might have a good day.
And you're forgetting one of the guys, Michael McDowell.
Michael McDowell. He's done
Michael
very
McDowell
well this year.
Up there, and I'm interested to see Christopher Bell. You know, I've been trying to watch him kind of lead the Toyota camp there. let's see if he can get up there and do something. But I'm looking forward to the race. It's one of my favorite races. I love the road courses. I love Sonoma. But I'm going to go ahead and lock my pick in with Michael McDowell.
Going with the 34 car.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, riddle me this, Tommy. On Monday, we're bringing the game back in. How many touchdowns are you going to score, and how are you going to score them?
Well, like I was talking to John about on Twitter, you know, while the defense was out there, I was out there, you know, changing injectors and spark plug wires on all the buses for the opposing teams.
Cut the brake cable?
Yeah, well, I kind of bled a little fluid out of it.
There you go.
I might have a little hesitation. I won't kill nobody. Just give them a little scare. Now, I tell you what. I got my boy back there punting, which we don't punt a hell of a lot.
No, we don't.
You give me the ball, give me right up the damn middle. Let me go. We got a bunch of big old boys up there on the line. We can get it. And then I ain't got to worry about anybody scoring else. Cause we got Philly back there, you know, second quarterback about every damn play.
Oh, 6'9", wearing number 69, weighing 369 pounds.
Nice.
That's real nice, Clark.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate all the content this week, man. I've had a lot of fun. I hope y'all have a great weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing JL.
Appreciate the phone call, buddy. Yeah, so we got JL coming up here in about 15 or so minutes, and we're going to talk a little bit of turning left and right this week for all you road course lovers. I'm one of those guys. Enjoy a good road course. John, are you more inclined to watch if it's a road course race than it is just a regular oval, mile and a half?
Negative. I am way more inclined to watch if it's an oval track. I really enjoy Bristol. I can't remember if it was Bristol or Martinsville, one of those small tracks. I can't even remember who the driver was. I saw it on ESPN. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. It would come down to the last lap. Dude needed a certain placement to advance in the standings or whatever it was. Hit the wall and floored it.
Ross Chastain.
It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life, and we've tried that. Every one of us, if anyone has ever played a racing game ever, Need for Speed.
It just slows you down.
Yeah, it does. You know, sometimes you can make it work. Like on NASCAR Heat, it'll work, especially at Bristol. I've done it. But, yeah, that dude pulled it off in real life. Man, I'm sitting over here thinking, my God. I mean, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in any sport.
And then they banned it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I don't understand.
That's the coolest thing anybody had seen in 20 years.
It's by far the coolest thing I've ever seen in NASCAR, by far.
Let's get Tanner in here next, former host of Overtime. What's up, buddy?
What is up, gentlemen? Taking in some of the super regional action today. Have y'all watched any of these games so far?
Well, we got
Duke UBA.
Got Duke advancing, looks like. Or not advancing, they're going to take game one. I just turned it off of TCU and Indiana State to look at something that has nothing to do with this show. It has to do with another show, and it's kind of entertaining, not going to lie. But, Tanner, how are we feeling about tomorrow? Because right now I'm feeling pretty confident.
I'm not like nervous or anything like that. I really don't know what to expect. Like, if anything shows you how much, you know, of a crapshoot this baseball tournament is, just look no further than, you know, last year. You know, we all know what happened to us, and then you saw the team that ended up winning the whole thing was, like, literally the last team, you know, selected in the tournament. So I really don't know what to expect. You know, I think the team is playing some of their best baseball. Now, the question is, have they played the best baseball yet? That's really to be determined. I mean, I really think there's some things they can still work on. I mean, granted, you know, they swept through the Clemson regional, but, you know, we didn't play perfect baseball by any means, especially against Clemson. Now, you know, granted, Clemson is number 4 overall seed. I mean, it's hard to, you know, look perfect against a team like that, especially when you're playing in their home park. But, yeah, I'm really interested to see that atmosphere. I mean, I know, like, man, those Southern Miss fans, I think they're going to be out for blood. That's going to be an interesting environment.
It's going to be fun. I'll say that it's going to be fun, regardless of whether or not we win or lose. This is going to be a fun series to watch, but I don't think it goes to Monday.
It's getting chippy.
I really don't want it to go to Monday, guys. Like, I really don't want it to. Like, either way, I would like this thing to be decided by Sunday because, like, I couldn't, like, that game three going on a Monday when I'm having to work, like, I'm going to be the least productive person on planet Earth. Like, I can't have that happening.
Well, in my case, I'm hoping that it rains. That way, if it does rain, I have an excuse to go to a local establishment like a Jets Pizza in Farragut and grab a pie and watch the game.
Yeah, what are y'all thinking about the whole lack of the watch party thing? I thought, you know, I know it's different when you're not hosting it and you can't really have, like, you know, the crowd that couldn't get into the game, you know, do like you have been doing, gather outside the park, big projector screen. I thought the opportunity was there to, like, open up Lindsey Nelson just to have the game on the Jumbotron.
That would have been interesting, and I think a lot of people would have showed up to it. I think it would have been a success.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't even know what they're doing because, like, they're sure as hell not starting any expansion right now.
No. They are not starting expansion on the stadium, but they need to hurry up.
Yeah, that's a whole other, you know, topic I can just go on and on about. My only thing I'll say about that, because I know there has been discussion, I know, you know, y'all talked about it earlier in the week, and, you know, I heard a little bit of a discussion about that from, why are y'all calling the drop now, The View?
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg, Russi O'Donnell, and Marcus Vieira.
well, Whoopi at least Goldberg. Didn't call him Marcus Behar. could have been a lot worse. But yeah, going back to that, the only thing I'll say about that is if we're wanting to be serious about this baseball thing, guys, we're not going to let some bureaucratic red tape stop us, right? Like, surely not, right?
I hate the government. I hate the government. Make them go away. Let me build.
I'm extremely excited about this game, man.
Yeah, I'm pumped for it. Again, don't know what really is going to happen. I don't think – I know the one thing for sure is, though, I don't think our guys are going to be rattled at all. They've played in some really hostile environments this season. Now, granted, you know, at Arkansas, at LSU, we didn't win those series. But, again, we were not playing anywhere near as good as we are right now.
They also didn't look rattled in those situations as well. And I think it's kind of laughable that Southern Miss thinks that they're going to be able to rattle Tennessee. But two things I would really like to see them clean up would be defensively turning double plays. They're near the bottom third of the conference and turning double plays and base stealing. I would love to see the base running improve a little bit offensively, maybe sneak some guys into scoring position, make it a little bit easier on our batters. But I think that if in either game, we can get either one of our starting pitchers to the fifth or sixth inning, I think that's going to be the key to victory right there.
Yeah, for sure. I would like to see that happen. And, you know, going back, touching on the potential of the weather situation, if there's going to be a game that if there is going to be a delay in either of the first two games, like I feel like we need that tomorrow, honestly. And I feel like we need that before Tanner Allen gets pulled because that's just advantage Tennessee.
100%. Agreed. 100%.
Yeah, and they just showed on watching the TCU game, 79% of the time the winner of game one in the Super Regional moves on. So that tells you right there how important that game is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just go look at the last 2 years that the Supers we've been involved in. Last year, you know, we dropped game one to Notre Dame. They advanced. And then the year before that, you know, we took that first game against LSU. Very tight contest.
I'm still convinced that Notre Dame was doctoring the baseballs. I mean, that was a lot of sunscreen in that dugout. That's a banned substance in the MLB, or in MLB.
I'm not going to get all into that. All I know is that, you know, nothing can hurt worse than that last year, guys. So even if you drop the Super this week, it ain't going to be as bad as last year. I'm honestly happy we've made a Super. You know, I'm not satisfied with it. I want to get back to Omaha. And
dude, we didn't even think we were going to get to be in a regional a few months ago.
Well, there was a point in April, guys, when we started 5-10 in conference, like, it was looking like we were on a track to miss Hoover.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, we didn't even know if we were going to make it to Hoover.
Yeah, so to be in this situation, you know, to be in the Super, to be two wins away from Omaha. I think it's really good. I think it speaks to really good coaching job from Tony, Frank, and Elander. But yeah, it's just another thing. I mean, I think the guys are confident. I think they're playing with a chip on their shoulder, which is it might play into a factor versus last year because we didn't really have the chip on our shoulder. We were the team with the target on their back all season.
And it just seemed like that never ended. Like, it seemed like it was still there going into this year, even though guys like Jordan Beck, Drew Gilbert are gone, and Evan Russell, it seemed like that target was still there all year because we're Tennessee.
You had the teams that got their ass kicked by us last year. They wanted to get that revenge, but, you know, that's all gone. I mean, this completely different group of guys. It's taken a while for them to kind of gel together when it comes to a whole camaraderie thing, you know, who's going to be your alpha. You know, you can never replicate the madness that was Drew Gilbert. You can't replicate that, but I think guys like Griffin Merritt, they have filled that role a little bit. You're seeing Christian Moore kind of step in to take that role, you know, as a younger player. I think he's been playing fantastic. Zane Denton's been playing fantastic. A lot of these guys are clicking at the right time. I don't know how big of a factor it is, as long as he is not, you know, just striking out all the time at the plate. Are we going to see a big weekend for Blake Burke? That's what I'm wondering.
Hopefully. I need that from him and Dickey both. I want to see them swinging that stick like they ain't swung it all year.
Well, you're not going to get it from Charlie Taylor.
Or Cal Stark.
Yeah.
When's the last time Burke homered, guys?
It seems like it's been a minute.
It has been a while.
I feel like it's been a month.
Might have been that Florida series.
I think so.
That's bad, man.
You might be right.
He's due.
He's still on pace to destroy the career home run record.
And he's in a slump.
Yeah. Bad slump.
Yeah.
Slump busters coming this weekend, boys.
Oh, we ain't talking about slump busters on the show, man.
I'm telling you right now, he's about to. I feel good about Burke. For whatever reason, I've not felt this confident. I didn't feel this confident about Tennessee baseball last year. And they were hosting. You know, this year, I don't know. I feel like kind of like Tanner was talking about. You know, they had the target on their back all year last year. I just don't feel like they have that target on their back right now. I mean, I feel like Southern Miss does just as much as Tennessee does. If anything, Southern Miss being the hosting school, which Tennessee will be the home team in game one and three. But with Southern Miss hosting, I feel like they've got an immense amount of pressure on them, especially with all the smack they've been talking. I'm sure y'all have seen the stuff on Twitter. We won't go into it here, but all the stuff going on Twitter, there is a huge. This is getting chippy. Like, it is getting very chippy, and I think it's putting more pressure on Southern Miss. And if they can't get it done in Game One, it's going to be a long weekend.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a long weekend for them for sure.
Amen.
You know, again, I'm not going to be really surprised by any outcome. You know, it is college baseball. This postseason can definitely get crazy. All I know is that big advantage for us is definitely going to be that pitching depth. We've seen so many arms used throughout the season. You know, this right here, this is where we can really, really show how much we got there. So I am hoping that we do come on top. But I know y'all have guests coming up, so I am going to get off here. Y'all have a good weekend.
Appreciate the phone call, Tanner. Stay with us. JL Steele, the NASCAR expert, joins us next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Pleased to be joined by our NASCAR expert, JL Steele. JL, how we doing, man? Got him connected. All right, we're going to get connected there with JL here in just a second. We're going to be talking a little bit about what happened at Gateway this past weekend and then what we're going to expect this weekend at Sonoma. One of the more fun races that we get to watch throughout the year. It is going to be the last race on Fox for the year. John. Do not have John either. I will sit here and I will talk to myself. There he is. Sweet. Are you going to watch this weekend?
You know, I'm going to see what JL says, and I'm going to see if he can lobby me into watching.
Okay, so that is the goal. I feel like you're a little bit more easy to lobby into this than what my last crew was. Bryson, that was easy. That was very easy to get him logged in because he's been watching NASCAR his entire life. So
about JL, I'm in the dark, man.
So what we're going to do, we're going to have JL call into us, and then we are going to continue on and do our segment as promised. So, you didn't watch last weekend, but we all know that Kyle Busch won. Kyle Busch is going to do Kyle Busch things. This weekend, road courses. There's a few road course masters there, but Kyle Busch is the only one with multiple wins at said track.
Hey, we got you now.
And there we go. I think we got JL on hold now. Max, we got him?
Yeah.
All right, let's get him in here. JL, how we doing?
Hey, doing well. Take two. Sounds pretty good now.
Sounds pretty good now. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. You know, this past weekend at Gateway, Kyle Busch doing Kyle Busch things.
Yeah. It was great to see. I think there's a whole lot of us who are really enjoying this Kyle Busch post-Toyota tour. And he's shown a lot of things. He's shown, number one, that he was really the difference maker, I think, at Gibbs, which I don't know who would have doubted that. Secondly, he's shown us that whole line of bull that we were fed last year about Gibbs being unable to secure sponsorship for him.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lie. He's also showing that not only can Richard Childress Racing be competitive, but Austin Dillon might want to start looking at the management side of things, because he's been there how many years, is hardly ever a factor, and Kyle Busch didn't just win again Sunday. He put a whipping on him. He
mm-hmm.
had the fast time in qualifying. He was up front all day. He was running away with that thing. Kyle Busch is as hot as they are right now.
That he is, and I think that's going to continue. You know, I don't know if you heard Bryson, the former member of the show, he called into the show earlier and he gave his pick. He said, I'm going to go with Kyle Larson, but it's probably going to be Kyle Busch. Like, that's how highly he is still thought of, even though he went down to, quote-unquote, this mediocre team. Guess what? The one thing that doesn't change is that man behind the wheel. And
that's right.
Kyle Busch never changes. He never has changed. He never will change. Kyle Busch is going to do Kyle Busch things
mm-hmm.
until Kyle Busch is no longer behind the wheel of the car.
And Kyle Busch things are winning.
Yes.
And let's be honest here. A lot of people aren't going to like to hear this, but the fact is, when was the last time Richard Childress was fighting for wins and running up front this consistently?
Probably with Kevin Harvick.
Well, I was going to go back even further and say Dale Earnhardt.
You can say Dale Earnhardt, yeah. Because even Harvick, it was just so weird because it seemed like he really reached the prime of his career towards the end once he got Stuart Haas.
Yeah, I agree totally. I mean, this has breathed such new life into Childress. It's great to see. And the transition, I mean, you used to watch races, whether you're in person or on TV, and Kyle Busch would get the loudest boos. Now his cheers are as loud, I think, as any of his boos have been. It's just incredible.
And that's something that, you know, we talked about earlier in the year when he won at California. It's like, oh my goodness. It's like people are cheering. Like, I was expecting boos and everything that we're used to, and it was a roar of cheers. And I'm like, that is for Kyle Busch. That is for KFB. Like, this is actually happening right now.
Yeah, but if you look back through history, I mean, that's happened to a lot of drivers who have had long, successful careers. I mean, I grew up a Darrell Waltrip fan. I remember when Darrell was the most hated guy at the track. And then got competitive going into the early 90s before his competitiveness ended, Darrell was routinely cheered. Rusty Wallace wasn't really liked early on, and when his battles with Earnhardt, but toward the end of his career, he was getting those cheers. So we've seen this metamorphosis with a lot of drivers, and Kyle is just the latest one, and I think it's great to see it. I think it's great for the sport, because NASCAR needs good storylines. And whether it's intentional or whether it's just in the minds of fans, Kyle Busch taking off the black hat and putting on the white hat and being competitive while doing it, that's a heck of a story.
That is, and that's something, you know, we've harped on all year, is let's find this story. And, you know, we agreed, and I think we still do, that the storyline needs to be Kyle Busch versus Toyota.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But instead, you know, we're still getting the whole, you know, this driver's getting penalized this week for this, or that driver over there, he's getting penalized and has been penalized.
Yeah.
You know, just let the guys race. You know, we talk about it all the time in every sport. It's like, just let the guys play.
Yeah.
It's like, don't be ticky-tacky with your stuff. And another driver that I wanted to hit on in particular, Michael McDowell.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy has taken the 34 this week.
Nice.
To win.
Well, Michael's a good road course racer.
He is.
Yeah. You know, he's a great story. I mean, he's probably best known, obviously, for his unexpected win at Daytona a few years ago. But Michael has shown consistently lately, and you saw it again at Gateway on Sunday, he can run up front, whether it's through strategy, whether it's through just his ability, whether it's, you know, pits and tires and so on, whatever it takes. He's capable of running near the front. And I forget who it was this week. I heard someone say on one of the podcasts that McDowell did a great job of being a thorn in the side of those running in the top five. And that's great because that's what he's supposed to do. That's his job, is to not pull over and let the quote-unquote big teams battle it out. He's supposed to be a thorn in their side, and I think Michael McDowell and the way he's been running is a great statement. Even though a lot of people hate a lot of things about it, it's a great statement on the parity that this new car is bringing in. I don't think you'd have seen McDowell running toward the front or running as consistently well in the old car as he is now.
Absolutely, and that's something that we're looking forward to this weekend. One more thing I wanted to touch on from last weekend. You know, we had a lot of excitement around Corey LaJoie going into this past weekend, and the one thing that you said, I hope he doesn't get involved in something that's not his fault because he'll never get that chance again. And it just seemed like the equipment just wasn't there to me in that one.
Well, he didn't do himself any favors when he hit the kill switch on lap two.
Right.
Okay. Here's the thing about Corey, and I think I spoke pretty highly of him last week.
Right.
There is a lot of criticism about Corey, and I like Corey, but some of that criticism is fair. If you listen to his Stacking Pennies podcast this week, he really gave his critics a lot of ammunition. Basically, the Spire Motorsports car that Carson Hosaver was in did as well as it did, according to Corey, because of the prep work he put into it.
Right.
The reason Carson crashed out was because of his inexperience and not heating up rotors and so on. The reason he didn't do better in the 9 car was because of data not transferring from simulation to the actual race car and so on. So basically, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to about the first 20 or 25 minutes of Stacking Pennies. He didn't do himself any favors, I don't think, in taking credit for everything good that happened with the 7 and taking no blame and placing blame on everybody else for what happened in the 9. That's just not a good look.
And then we talked a little bit about last week how, you know, a lot of people didn't like his dad. Do you think that's where some of the criticism comes from? It's just, well, we didn't like his dad, so we're not going to like him.
Yeah, I do. And I think I'm probably an example of that. I was never a fan of his dad, still not a fan of his dad. For those who don't know, Randy's pretty good at rewriting history through the perspective of time. And I was never a fan, never was a fan, but having met Corey, you know, he's a real likable guy. His PR person, Leanne, is just first class, and she does a tremendous job of working in his best interest. And that's kind of made me not dislike Corey. But again, when he says the stuff like he did on this podcast, it's another example of what he's been criticized for, that everything that good that happens for him is because of him. Everything bad is someone else. And that goes back to the 32 when he was with Go Fast Racing.
Right.
You know, if only he had better equipment, if only he had a better car, if only he had a better crew, you know. Well, you know, at some point, Corey, let's man up and take some responsibility.
And, you know, that reminds you a lot of Matt DiBenedetto. You know, when he was with Go Fast, it was, oh, well, I need better equipment, or I need sponsors, or this, that, and the other. Okay, well, let's put him in the 95. Let's send him over to Levine Family Racing, a now Toyota team. And done a fantastic job at Bristol. Everyone wants to harp on that. And it's like, okay, what did he do the rest of the year? And nobody can tell you anything about what he did the rest of the year. Lands with Wood Brothers. It's like, okay, now you're in the Penske camp. It's like, you have no excuse at this point. Go out and win, or, you know, be done. And that's what happened.
That's right. And you see, he went in the truck series, and what's he done? He has certainly not lighted the world on fire in the truck series. So,
and he's racing for, is he racing for Clay Greenfield now, or Rackley?
Rackley, yeah.
That's a major downgrade. Nothing against those guys, but, I mean, that's just a major downgrade compared to being a part of the Wood Brothers camp.
That's right. Which, for those who don't know, is essentially a Penske car.
Yes.
So you're running basically the same equipment that Ryan Blaney and Austin Cindric are running, and he just did not get the results.
And the thing is, Ryan Blaney won in that car. And Ryan Blaney competed in that car to the point where, when he was still in the 21, he was about to punch his ticket in 2017 to the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So Corey needs to really he needs to start getting some results. He needs to, if he thinks the equipment's down, if he thinks the team is down, he needs to start outperforming what he has, and he needs to just shut up and take some responsibility, I think.
Agreed. 100%. And jumping to this weekend, Chase Elliott's back. It's all over for everybody else. Chase Elliott's back.
Yes. Praise be his name. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. So, obviously, Chase Elliott coming back. Chase Elliott is considered one of the better road course racers, but what's he done at Sonoma?
Yeah, well, I heard John talking about trying to be talked into watching the road course.
Mm-hmm.
So let me make that argument. He absolutely should watch this race at Sonoma. Years ago, I was not a fan of road courses. As I got older, as I watched more, I became more of a fan. And one of the arguments is, you know, everybody talks about NASCAR getting back to its roots, getting back to its roots. Well, you know, they didn't deliver moonshine on ovals. They delivered moonshine, which was the foundation of NASCAR, making left turns, right turns, going up, going down hills. You can't get back to the basics any more in NASCAR today than you can by running a road course. So that's my first argument for it. Secondly, it is an opportunity for guys like Michael McDowell to, whether it's through strategy, whether it's through just their talent, to be able to pull off a better finish than they might otherwise do at an oval track. Thirdly, there's always storylines. There's guys who will go in looking to pit backwards, you know, to try to get the pit stop in early so they can run longer, and you have different pit strategies and guys off sequence from the majority of the field. So as far as strategy, that's another reason you want to watch this road course race. And finally, it's just a good race that more often than not has an exciting finish. It's just got a history of that. I can remember Jerry Nadeau looked like he was running away with it years ago, and he ran out of gas like in the last lap or two laps to go. And there's just been so many examples. There was a famous Davey Allison, Ricky Rudd episode where Rudd was basically robbed of a win. So, yeah, this, I think if you're a NASCAR fan, this is definitely must-see TV this weekend.
How about that, John?
He makes a compelling argument, man. He really does.
Hey, tune it in. See if I'm right. If I'm not, turn it off. Go watch USFL or Bar Rescue or whatever else you want to do. But if I'm right, we can talk about this next week. What a great race this was.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you what, it's a deal.
Every time I think of the USFL, the XFL, all I can think of is Vince McMahon in the year 2000 at the 50-yard line. This is the XFL!
Yeah. Yeah, and he hate me. Remember, he hate me?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my God.
It was on the back of the jersey. That's what was so great about this, is he went by he hate me, and on the back of his jersey, which should have been his last name, no, it was he hate me.
Classic.
Nothing will ever beat that.
No, that's classic. But as far as a winner, you know, Chase is a contender more often than not at road courses. As much as it pains me to say it, Martin Truex Jr. is usually a contender at road courses. But this is one that, again, you kind of toss it up and just pick. And who did you say went with Michael McDowell? Was that Tommy?
That was Tommy. He is a long shot odd right now at plus 4,000 odds.
You know what? I may go with Tommy this week. I'm gonna be with Tommy, and we're going to root Michael McDowell onto victory, Sonoma.
I'll be rooting for him. I've kind of got a little bit of a wild card to throw in there. And his odds aren't the best, but it's still enough for me to be like, okay, if I throw $10 on this, I'm not going to feel bad if I lose. A.J. Allmendinger.
Well, yeah, he's another one. That's, you know what, it's kind of a joke, but this and Watkins Glen are the two times that A.J. Allmendinger matters in the Cup Series. And I know that sounds mean, but the fact is he's usually mired back, you know, 20th to 28th in most races. But the road courses, he is definitely one of the best road course racers out there. So,
oh, and Indy. Don't forget Indy since they took the real race away from us.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
So,
that name rings a bell, A.J. Allmendinger. Did he drive the 43 car at one point?
He did. Yeah, he did at one point, wow. At one time. And, yeah, whether it's the Roval or the Indy Road Course or Watkins Glen or Sonoma, this is when Allmendinger, usually you hear his name more than you do any other time.
And then there was also, he drove the 22 for Penske.
Yep.
And then, of course, got in trouble there with a supplement he was taking. Well, supplement, I mean, he was taking Adderall. But, you know, that ended that, and he's not really had a great ride since.
No, you know, and it's possible just with his experience, his ability, he could definitely be a factor. But I wouldn't feel as good rooting for him Sunday as I would for McDowell. So let's take a chance and let's pull for McDowell.
Let's do it. Your top three on FanDuel right now are Kyle Larson at plus 450, Tyler Reddick at plus 450, and Chase Elliott at plus 550.
Where's Martin Truex?
Martin Truex, he's a little bit down the list. He's at plus 1,600 odds, so right there with AJ. Mm.
Okay, that's interesting. I wouldn't have expected that, but okay.
I expect him to be about plus 900, right around where Kyle Busch is, but
yeah,
that might be a good value pick.
Well, I think it could be.
All righty, JL, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us where to find you on Twitter.
I'm at JL underscore Steele, STEELE.
That is JL Steele, the NASCAR expert. JL, we're grabbing lunch sometime soon.
We got to. We've been talking about it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. And Max, you're coming with us, and John, so are you. Appreciate
cool.
Appreciate your time, man. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the racing.
Yes, sir. That is JL Steele, the NASCAR expert here at Fan Run Radio. We're going to take a quick timeout. Final segment of the week coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the week. It's overtime. It's Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, John Dunn, Max Pennell. You. John, what'd you learn from JL?
Same thing I learn every other time we hear him, that I need to be watching NASCAR.
That's a great answer. You know what I learned today?
What's that, my friend?
A new way to convince people to watch road course racing. I've never made that analogy in my life.
Yep, that's brilliant, dude. As soon as he started talking about that, I recalled the conversation we had last week where I was talking about how I preferred the old school NASCAR, how I'd like to see it get back to its roots, and that's exactly what he hit me with.
And I don't even think there's any other way that you can compare it. It's like, yeah, they weren't driving around in a circle evading the law. They were going down back roads. They were turning left. They were turning right as fast as they could at the angle that you needed to make in order to outrun the law. And
yeah,
that's
man,
what we're going to do.
He made a great point. That was a fantastic analogy. It definitely wrote me in. There ain't no way I'm going to miss this one this weekend. I missed last weekend, but really am going to try to take it a little bit easier this weekend. And hopefully I ain't got nothing else to do on Sunday and can watch this race.
And I'm going to give you a race to go back and watch. You don't even have to watch the entire race. You just got to watch like the last 10 laps of this race. The first ever Charlotte Roval, when they took the second Charlotte race and they turned it into the road course. And everyone thought it was going to be a disaster. It was the best race of that year and probably the best race of the last five. It was that good.
10 laps of any race, I feel like, are just awesome. That's when it starts to get really, really, you know, you get inside the last three laps and you start seeing some, you know, some substantial movement there, some real, you know, this is it, it's all or nothing type strategy. You know, he's talking about strategy on these road courses too. I think it's obviously, I mean, there's more factors to take into account. So there's going to be more strategy, which I'm a fan of anyway. You know me, man. I'm analytical mind. So stuff like that, he knew his audience when he was coming to convince me to watch this race.
Absolutely. And the thing that is so great about this race that I'm telling you guys about is in the last 10 laps, when you go to the Charlotte Roval, when you're coming around normally after you come out of what we know is turn four and you're coming back to the start-finish line, normally you just go straight, right? There is a dip before you get to the start-finish line that you have to make for the final two turns. But when they're restarting on this track, they come through like they're actually coming through the oval. This wasn't taken into account by Brad Keselowski. And he started the race, or started the restart, like he would as if they were racing at the Charlotte Oval. Overshoots the first turn and takes, I'm not kidding, it seemed like at least 25% of the field with him.
Oh, man.
And then on the last lap, Jimmy Johnson, it's his final full-time season. Excuse me. Second to last, I think. It was the last time he was even competitive. I'll just keep it that way. It was the last time Jimmy was competitive. And it's Jimmy and Martin Truex battling it out. Jimmy doesn't brake the way he should going into the final turn, spins himself out, and as Martin Truex is trying to speed up coming out of the last turn, he clips Martin Truex. They're all out. And Ryan Blaney goes on to win the race. Now, one of the other cars that got caught up in this, Jeffrey Earnhardt, is stopped on the track. Jimmy Johnson thinks he's in to the next round of the playoffs because this was an elimination race. And all of a sudden, here comes Kyle Larson on two wheels, essentially, just trying to get across the start-finish line. And his crew chief's telling him, we need this position. We need this position. Jeffrey Earnhardt was on the lead lap, and Kyle Larson got an extra point, which in turn booted Jimmy Johnson out of the rest of the playoffs.
Wow. Stuff like that, that's intriguing right there to me. That sounds like some fun entertainment and, I mean, some competitive sport, man. That's what's all about. I like competition. It doesn't matter what it is. You and I have gamed before. You've heard how competitive.
We ain't
going to
repeat what we've said. We ain't going to repeat what we said.
Yeah, we can't. We literally cannot do that. But yeah, I mean, you know me, man. Competition is what it's all. I don't care if it's tic-tac-toe. You know, I just, competition is what it's all about. So if it's that intriguing, man, I'm definitely going to get, I might get roped in too. You know, I grew up watching NASCAR. My papa, my aunts, my mom. I mean, they were all big fans. My mama's still a huge NASCAR fan. I mean, she don't miss a race, but maybe it's time I start giving it a chance, a true chance.
I think it's worth it for you. I really do. Bryson would tell you the same thing. Max.
Ain't hurt nothing at all, man.
What say you?
I mean, I'm in the same boat as John, except I know less than John. So, I mean, like he said, if I'm around Sunday and got nothing going on, I will for sure tune in. But, I mean, especially at road course, because, you know, John said he's not a big road course fan. I enjoy road courses. My dad always made me watch Watkins Glen growing up because that was his favorite race. So I'm interested to watch a road course race. It's been a long time, but I'm definitely worth giving a shot.
So I'm going to try to find this for you. Really,
what about
quick.
Dirt track, Max? You like dirt track racing?
Yeah, that's what I've – the only time I've been to a race live was dirt track. And those are fun and affordable and, you know, just something to do on a random Friday night in the summer.
We might head up to Tazewell here in a couple weeks, me, you, and Jake. We might bring JL with us. We'll get down there in the pits and hang out and do some stuff.
Awesome.
Heck, we might bring Tommy, too, get him a job down there mechanic.
I would love that. That would be
That sounds
awesome.
Great, man. I know I can get us down there for sure. So just we'll hammer that out off air and stuff, but I think that sounds fun, man. It might be a way to kind of pull me back into to racing.
That it might. I'm actually going to play the highlights of this if I can find it. So, like I said, this happened, John, to give you an idea, 4 years ago. 4 years ago is when this
last
happened.
Last time I heard Jimmy Johnson's name, it seems like.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
So, like I said, they just battled out. And the thing is, they battled it out all day. And the thing about the next year is Chase Elliott did the same thing that Brad did, but there was still 30 to go and was able to wheel his way from the back of the pack all the way back to win. That's what made that impressive. And it just seems like good race after good race just keeps getting pounded out here. And it's like,
I love that. See, there's strategy to being behind people. That's what I think is wild about NASCAR. You know, like I told you, I play the games, you know, like with hockey and NASCAR. I'm not necessarily a big NHL fan or NASCAR fan, but the games are great. I'm a big gamer. So, you know, playing these NASCAR games, I found it to be a strategic advantage to stay behind somebody most of the game, you know, get that draft behind them there, you know, keep the speed. If you can find, and I've learned this too, you know, I mean, I didn't really know a whole lot about, you know, racing on actual asphalt, but if you find somebody you can link up with, you and somebody else, just one, two, maybe even three of you, just keep going, you can make a train, man, just draft and gain way more speed than anybody else, just separate from the pack. It's wild. It's crazy, man, the strategy in it.
Yeah, just stay in line and make it happen. So, Max, here is the final lap from this race. Obviously, Jimmy Johnson, as you can see right here, he just has to finish above 12th in the 48. And this one, Kyle Larson was in the 42 with Chip Ganassi. But over here on the right screen, they're watching what Eric Almirola is doing on the left. But on the right side of your screen, you see Martin Truex and Jimmy Johnson just absolutely battling it out in this last lap. And then they're coming around to the back stretch right here. So this is where it starts to get dicey. So right here, he thinks he's got him. He thinks he's got him because they're about to come through the chicane on the back straightaway as we know it. Kind of dips down to the left, they come back to the right, and you have to hit this at just the right angle, which Jimmy Johnson does perfectly right here. So Truex comes up the track. Johnson's got the momentum on the bottom of the track. As we're coming through the final bank turn, here's where it all happens. See, he starts braking. The entire left side of the car just locks up, starts spinning. Boom. Takes Truex out with him. Now, the thing is, he couldn't just keep running. He had to come to a complete stop to make sure that he was clear with NASCAR. That way he didn't lose any more spots than what he did. And right here is where he thinks he's in. Because as it stands, he's finishing 12th in the standings. So he advances. What you don't see is right here, Jeffrey Earnhardt is coming around. He spins out. And he's just sitting there. But look back here, coming out of the final bank curve. Well, it panned away from it. That's Kyle Larson coming up. Jeffrey Earnhardt does not move from this spot. And because he does not move, that afforded Kyle Larson the opportunity to take that position and advance. And that was the last time Jimmy Johnson was ever in the playoffs. John, I wish you were here to follow along.
Yeah, man. I mean, you paint a brilliant word picture. I'm going to actually pull that up here as soon as we get off air and watch it. And I might go back.
Oh, and by the way, Martin Truex got pissed off at Jimmy Johnson and spun him out after the race was already over because of that.
Ooh, that's what I like. Now, if we do go to Tazzle, boys, I mean, bring you fighting boots because stuff does break out up there.
I'll wear my church jeans. Got a nice pair of church jeans. So, yeah, here it is. And look how fast Martin Truex is going on that. I mean, he blatantly did that, ripped the ass end off of Jimmy Johnson's car. Oh, I forgot this is when they were doing, like, the little characters on the side of the cars, too. That looks stupid. Oh, well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you, John.
Appreciate you, Jake. Max.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you, Jake. Everyone have a great weekend.
Something go else Vols. Coming up next. Yes, go Vols. Something else coming up next here on WKGN. Tune in on Monday for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.